Again this year, we have experienced the trauma of Good Friday, with all its senseless brutality and injustice. We've heard the gracious prayer of Jesus, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." We've read of the bravery of Joseph of Arimathea, who asked for the body of Jesus so that he might place him in the tomb which he possessed. Jesus had died the death of a common criminal, and Joseph risked being associated with him. Jesus was placed in a tomb which was securely sealed to quell any rumours that what he had said in life might be true, that he would rise from the dead. Additionally, the tomb was guarded by the soldiers to ensure no one could open it and take the body and then claim Jesus was somehow continuing his ministry. The Roman soldiers did everything they could to put an end to such rumours. The guards made sure that anyone approaching the sealed tomb and attempting to tamper with the stone which sealed the opening of the tomb would have found it impossible. The stone would have weighed anything between 1 and 2 tons and have been put in place in a groove, and to move it, they would have had to roll this weight up the groove. It would have been just possible for this to have been done by 2 men, but the guards would have quickly seen them and stopped them. It would have been more than the guards' life was worth if they had allowed entrance to the tomb in that way. Certainly, no one in the inside of the tomb could possibly have rolled the stone away, even if they had been mistakenly entombed alive. Jesus had been beaten raw, crucified, speared to ensure he was well and truly dead. Everything had been done to ensure that Jesus was dead and that the tomb was sealed and guarded. Yet, as we know and believe, the stone was rolled away and Jesus was brought back to life and appeared to his disciples. In fact, he was seen after his resurrection by over 500 people together. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 to 8, we read that Paul said, "He, that is Jesus, appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, before appearing to Paul himself." But rather than just say Jesus was raised from the dead, let's pause for a moment in the darkness of the tomb. Jesus, in the human form, as he had accepted when he came to earth at Bethlehem, had had that earthly body scourged, flogged, so he couldn't carry the cross. He was nailed in a way so he couldn't physically escape. His side pierced open, and then he died, as any human being would. Then he was laid in the tomb. It must have been heartbreaking for God to see his beloved and loving son treated in such a way and then left in the tomb. Do you not think of all places God would have wanted to be, would be to be with Jesus? We're not told that directly in Scripture, but reading of the relationship between Jesus and his Father, the indescribable bond of love they had for each other, could God have kept away from the tomb? Jesus could not have resurrected himself. He was as dead as all humans are when they die. The Bible doesn't say Jesus raised himself. It says he was raised. That clearly tells us that someone else did that, and obviously that can only have been his Father. Could we imagine that God would entrust that task to anyone else? Who else would he have entrusted to hold Jesus tenderly and love him back to life. To see Jesus' eyes opening, and the first person to see would be his Father. And to hear him saying to his Son, "Thank you. Thank you for redeeming the world." Who else would God have wanted to embrace Jesus back to life other than himself? Can you imagine God in his heaven saying the word, "Arise," and Jesus in the darkness of the tomb stirring to life? And logically, no one could have opened the tomb from the inside so Jesus could come out. Dare I suggest that God must have been there in the tomb and for 3 days watching over his lifeless son, waiting, waiting, waiting for those 3 days to pass, which Jesus himself had said he must remain lifeless to satisfy the penalty of death. God, looking on his Son, who was fulfilling his plan to give us the promise of eternity. We so often say, perhaps without thinking too deeply, that God is everywhere, that he is omnipresent. Could that possibly mean that God is everywhere except in the tomb with Jesus? To use a human expression, I don't think he could have kept away from his son in the tomb. He must have found the time waiting to bring Jesus back to life so unbearable. And oh, what joy there must have been as God loved Jesus back to life. Today we celebrate and thank God for the miracle of the resurrection. Yet there's a further thought I'd like to share with you. God's love is such that he is described as God is love. He doesn't just share his love, he is love. And because he is love and he is omnipresent, in our deepest hour of crisis, when our hearts are breaking from some personal tragedy, when we can't see a way out, God is there with us, and his love, as he embraces us, heals us, restores us, and meets all our needs. Dear friends, just as God met the needs of Jesus as no other could, he will meet your needs, because he is with you right now. And the proof of that is that he raised Jesus because of his love for him. In your hour of despair, when perhaps you don't know which way to turn, sense God's embrace of love as he meets your needs just now.